Well, good morning, everyone. You may be seated. It is good to be back with you today and have the privilege of worshiping alongside of you. This is a really, really good problem to have. Welcome to the third service in this location on this side of the building. Our first service here was Easter Sunday, and last Sunday we had four baptisms, and there has just been an incredible sense of momentum of what God has been doing among this church. And here's the problem that's a really good problem. Every time I stand up in front of you, I feel like I have to introduce myself again. God is building and growing his church here in Brownsburg, and we are so thankful to view it and to see what God is doing, and we praise him for that. My name is John. My wife and I and Jason and Elizabeth Cervisi, we moved over here about 6 years ago to Brownsburg to begin Church on the Rock, and so there are some of you in here who do not know us, but we officially transitioned out of leadership here back in January and started the work of another church in Indianapolis, and working on beginning a new church in Fountain Square. So that's who I am, and this morning I have the incredible privilege of introducing to you all one of my mentors and coaches and just a friend in my life. Lynn and Brenda Rayburn are here with us today, and they have lived just an extraordinary life pursuing God and following after God, as missionaries in Kenya, Africa, and missionaries that care for other missionaries around the world, from Russia to Mexico to Central America to, I'll let him fill in the rest of the details, however much he wants to fill in, around the world in over 60 countries that they have been in and ministered in missionaries' places at times so that they could come back home for things they needed to come home to the States to. At other times, they've gone to specifically minister directly to the missionary who needed help and who needed care. This is my friend. This is a man of God, and I want you to hear the word that he has to speak to you this morning. Lynn, come up and speak your heart, brother. Love you.
Bless you, man. My, what a privilege it is to be with you at Church on the Rock this morning. And I have heard of this congregation for a very long time, and it's my first opportunity to get to see you, to be with you in a service, and to also be given the opportunity of opening God's Word in your presence is an even greater blessing. My lovely wife, Brenda, is the young lady sitting back there on the back row, and I'm saying that because I looked around earlier, and Phil, I think I'm the oldest guy in the room, you know, I'm not always accustomed to that, but it's exciting to see a young, vibrant congregation, and I appreciate you, and I thank God for what he's doing in this place. So I guess it begs the question, where do you go from here? What's next? John talked about transitioning out, and we are, at least to some extent, walking that journey with them as mentors and friends to make sure that they are staying spiritually healthy. I don't teach church planters how to do their work. Well, that's not altogether true. We work primarily with cross-cultural missionaries. And because our experience is working cross-culturally in other languages and in other cultures, we spend a lot of time talking about how you do that. But it's been 40 years, I just told my age, since we planted a church in the United States. And so we don't tell the missionaries, the church planters, someone like John going into a new location, we don't try to teach them how to plant a church so much as we try to make sure that they're spiritually healthy while they're doing that. Make sure that they're still walking with God. You know, sometimes you can get so caught up in the work of God that you're not walking with God. And so our responsibility as mentors and friends is to make sure that they're still walking with Jesus. So they're transitioning. That means you're transitioning as well. And God is doing a great work in this place. Your pastor, Rashad, I've known of Rashad for a long time. Have just now had the pleasure of meeting him. I know more about him than I know of him. And I hope that will change. But he is casting a vision before you for you to follow. And coming in as an old guy who's walked with Jesus a lot of years and a lot of different places, has grown up in church but seen a lot of changes in how we do church. Sometimes we get caught up. I think we talked about this, Rashad. We get caught up in the procedures and we forget the principles. And it's not the procedures, it's not the traditions, it's not how we do church nearly so much as it is the heart of the church and what church is all about. You know, I read through the Bible a bit, and some of you read my Facebook page. Okay, I understand. About 8 times a year. So, I have a tendency to look at the Scripture in big gulps. Like, instead of looking at verses, I have a tendency to look at chapters or a whole book. And I looked at the churches to whom Paul wrote letters, and I realized that there was one church that he rebuked. There was another church that he recommended. And I want to speak to you this morning, though, about a church that Paul remembered. Rashad said he liked alliteration. There you go, brother. There you go. And so I want to speak to you about the church that Paul always remembered. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, mentioning you in our prayers, here it is, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patient hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. For we know, beloved brothers, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, just as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you were examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord sounded out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith in God has gone forth so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare how we were received by you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today, and may He speak to us by His Spirit. We've already sung that we are welcoming God to this place and we acknowledge His presence. And may I just say to you, I'm a visiting speaker in your midst, and my greatest fear is that you will only hear me today. And the truth is, we came here to hear from God. I hope you did that. I hope you came here today to hear from God. Let us acknowledge His presence. Did you think about the fact when you came into this place that you came into the very presence of God? Jesus is in the room. He came here today to speak personally and powerfully to you. Just think about him sitting there beside you in the pew, in the chair. He is here. He wants to speak to you. Let us hear his voice. And may I pray that he receive all the honor, the glory, and the praise for what he does in this place today. Listen, what does it take to make an unforgettable church? Now, sometimes churches are remembered for the wrong things. Everybody in the United States has heard of Westboro Baptist Church. That's not the unforgettable church that I'm talking about. Let me just make that clear. Paul remembered without ceasing the church at Thessalonica. John, I'm amazed because when I read in the book of Acts, he was only there a short time. And Rashad, I've wondered, did he go back and it's just not recorded in the book of Acts? If you just read the book of Acts, you would think that what happened in Thessalonica was forgettable. But if you read the book of Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica, today that's Thessaloniki in modern Greece, by the way. The church at Thessalonica was an unforgettable church. And I would submit to you today that you want to be an unforgettable church. You want to be remembered for the right things. And Paul points out in this book those things for which the church should always be remembered. First of all, he mentions that it is a working church. A working church. He says your work of faith, your labor of love, and patient hope. Those three things. Sometimes we do not recognize that our faith is supposed to work. We talk about works versus faith, and it is very clear that if you're trying to work your way to salvation, you're never going to get there. For by grace are we saved, not of works. But James makes it very clear. I'm not sure I like the book of James. Did you ever find a Bible book that you didn't like? I'm not crazy about the book of James, because James really puts it on the line. He says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, faith is the foundation of your Christian life. And if you have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, your works are taking you nowhere. Your works glorify you. It is your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that will save you. Somewhere along the way, you have to come to the point where you admit that you cannot save yourself, that your works are not good enough, that you'll never accomplish this, that your self-reformation, remediation has to come from God. Through Jesus Christ, His Son, because of what He did on Calvary's cross, paying for our sins. And you must come to faith in Him. The problem is, too many who call themselves Christians have made a profession of faith, but they have never demonstrated faith by their works. God has saved you for the purpose of working to His glory. Every member of Church on the Rock ought to be a working saint. There is a service, there is a ministry for you to do in this place and outside the doors of this place, in your community. Your faith needs to be demonstrated in your work. Phil and I were talking about his family used to feed people, and now he feeds their animals through the feed store. But just think about the opportunity he has of meeting people. It's obvious to me Phil likes to meet people. He came up and introduced himself to me. We talked a bit. And what a great opportunity he has to share with people in the community. And God, I didn't meet all of you, but every single one of you has an opportunity, a unique field, and a way to work to share your faith. This church will be remembered depending upon whether you demonstrate your faith in action and in testimony. Working faith. You can say, I have faith. Show me your faith. Find a ministry that you can do in the church, in the community, representing Jesus, and have a working faith. A church that will be remembered is a working church. Your faith is active. It is energetic. It is living faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You know, Brenda and I have been in ministry for a lot of years now. And you would think that the Lord would allow us to slow down, to be at ease, to begin to think about retirement. I shared yesterday, those of you who were here, God has a sense of humor. Because, you know, there was a time when I quit my job and surrendered to the ministry and went to seminary and became a pastor. And things were going great. And then God interrupted that and called us to the foreign mission field. And, you know, we wrote God a blank check. We went where God sent us. We did the difficult job of learning another language, Swahili, and worked for 12 years planting churches and working cross-culturally. And that became home. And God interrupted that procedure again, and we stepped out in faith one more time and began the ministry that we've been doing for almost 21 years now. Of training other missionaries. And just in the past few months, God interrupted our comfort zone one more time and said, I want you to start traveling in the United States and work on the field with some of these church planters that you've been mentoring. So we're here in a travel trailer. We sat through the storm last night in a travel trailer. And God is never the author of our comfort zone. He wants you to step out in faith and trust Him. And I want to ask you today, very pointedly, maybe I'm crossing the boundaries because I don't know you that well, but just take this as from God. What is happening in your life? What are you attempting in your life? That when it happens, it will have to have been God that accomplished that. That's faith. That's faith. And listen, God wants a living faith from you. Step out in faith and trust God. That work of faith, that labor of love. I looked up that word labor, and it said that the original meaning was a painful effort. Well, I guess some of you ladies understand that, right? A painful effort. I guess giving birth truly is a labor of love, right? And our work for Jesus ought to be a labor of love. Why do you do that? Because I love Jesus. Guys, I hate washing dishes. I don't know why. I just hate washing dishes. But I discovered some time back that one of the things that I can do that really shows my wife that I love her is to wash the dishes. I don't know why. She is great at it. She's fast. It it takes me five times as long to wash the dishes as it does her. But for some reason, she really likes it when I wash the dishes. But I hate washing the dishes. But I wash the dishes. I try to wash the breakfast. Now, I admit, Megan, this morning was the first time I've washed the dishes in the travel trailer. It's a little different, but I washed the dishes this morning in the travel trailer. Why? Did I enjoy it? No. But because I love my wife, and I want her to feel loved. Do you love Jesus? Then He wants you to sacrificially serve Him. To show Him. Do you enjoy it? You probably will come to. Don't tell her, but I've actually begun to enjoy washing the dishes. But don't tell her. I can tell you that sacrificial service for Jesus will come to be the greatest joy of your life. But it starts off as a sacrifice, a painful effort, a self-denying exertion. What exertion? Some Christians never exert themselves. And our work of faith is to be a labor of love. Do you ever get tired of your service? Do you ever get tired in service? I'm looking at Rashad when I say that. This is a bivocational pastor. I've done that. And that is tough. That is tough. And my brother, I just lovingly want to encourage you. Your hope is in Christ. I know that there is a hope, and I look for the day that it happens that this church is able to make you a full-time pastor rather than a bivocational pastor. And there is hope in that, but that's not the real hope. The hope is in Christ. For all of you who serve in this congregation, your hope is in Christ. That endurance. How do you keep serving 40 plus years in the ministry? How do you keep serving? It's because our hope is in nothing else but in Christ. Listen, you must be, if you're going to be a church that is well remembered and remembered for good, you must be a working church. Not only that, Paul talked about those three terms and said you must be a working church, but you must also be a changed, a transformed church. Notice what he said in verses 5 through 7, and then especially in verse 9. He said, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, just as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you were examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Look at verse 9. "For they themselves declare," that is your works, "how we were received by you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The church at Thessalonica was a transformed church. They were transformed, first of all, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel that was not just an empty sermon. It was not just words that filled the air, echoed through the building. They came in power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I learned a long time ago that when the Word of God is preached, that some people get angry because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It should not always be comfortable to sit in the seat where you are. And I'm not talking about the padding in the chair. You understand? sometimes, you know, I've preached in a lot of different churches, and sometimes people will leave and they say, "Brother, I really enjoyed that sermon." That's not necessarily the best thing that you can say to a preacher. I remember one time preaching in the Florida State Association, John, back probably before you ever surrendered to preach, and I preached about racism. And I had an old line pastor come to me at the end of the service, and he grabbed me by the hand and pulled it up and got in his face right there, and he said, "I did not enjoy that." And he said, "But I sure did need it." Now that's what you say to a pastor. "I did not enjoy that, but I sure did need it." You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ will convict us of our sin. And when we turn to God in repentance and faith, the power of the Spirit of God will change us. Have you been changed since you believed? And if not, into what did you believe? Listen, God wants to change you. He wants to deliver you from the slavery, the bondage of sin. Not that you will be sinless, but at least delivered, changing, under construction, being transformed, not by your own strength, but by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God. Let us never allow our disdain for other people to keep us from understanding the movement and the excitement of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, I'm not that kind of Christian. This is not that kind of church." Maybe it ought to be. Where people come and they know that the power of the Spirit of God is moving because they look at lives and see the transformation that only God can make. And you know what? Some of us who've been around a while have gotten too comfortable with who we are and what we're doing. And maybe it's time that we let go and let God continue to change us. If you're not still under construction, if you're still not in the process of transformation, why are you still here? I don't mean in this church, I mean on this earth. Right? Why didn't God just take you to heaven? Because He still wants to change you. He wants to make you different, better, more like Him. You need to be a transformed church by the moving of the Spirit, by God's power, but also by mentoring. You know, God puts people in our lives. Paul was at Thessalonica, and it seemed that he was only there a short time. And so, John, that's why I'm wondering, how did this take place? But he said, "You became followers of me." And by following Paul, because Paul was following Christ, they became followers of Christ. How do you learn to walk with Jesus? How do you learn to be a real Christian, not a nominal Christian, a serving Christian? How do you learn that? Look for somebody who's doing it and sort of following their steps. And I'm not talking about being a little me. I'm talking about learning how it's done. How do you walk with Jesus every day? See, one of the things I learned in Kenya in the work early on was the fact that in our group of churches, we have a real tendency to focus more on doctrinal issues than we do on walking with Jesus. And if you wonder why some of our churches can't get along, and it's because we've got churches filled with amateur theologians Because when they became Christians, they were given 52 doctrinal lessons, and they were never taught how to walk with Jesus every day. Which is more important? How is it we are to be known by our 52 doctrinal lessons? By our 13 or 17 or 21 or 46 statements of faith? No, because we love one another, because we love Jesus, because we love others. And that's what God wants to do in your life, and He may use someone else to do that, to show you the way. Who's mentoring you? Is there someone in your life that is helping you to know how to walk with Jesus, to make wise decisions? Is there someone in whose marriage you have seen the strength of God and you want that same strength in your marriage? Is there someone who in their occupation glorifies God and you want that in your occupation? Find a mentor and walk in their steps. By the way, that also means, listen, if you're to be a church that will be remembered, you've got to be a mentor. You not only need a mentor, you need to be mentoring someone else. Isn't that what He said? He said, not only did you follow your example, but you became an example to others, right? By the way, be careful about that. The Bible says that bad companions corrupt good morals. That's, in case you doubt that, that's 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's verse 33. Bad companions corrupt good morals. And so, okay, so, you know, Rashad, we talk about you. We got to be in the world and influencing the world. But hey, if you're spending all your time with unbelievers, with people who do not walk with Jesus, you're probably in trouble. Bad companions corrupt good morals. You need to have a witness among them, but you better be walking with people like this and influencing one another, mentoring one another. Whose life are you influencing? Into whom are you pouring your faith and the principles of the Word of God? You will be remembered forever if you do that. And you want to be remembered well. If this church is to be a church that will be remembered, you've got to be a transformed church that is continually transformed by the Holy Spirit, both by the preaching of the Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of mentoring that's going on within this congregation. If you will do that, that is the principle of disciple making, of discipleship. If you will do that, this church will continue to grow and to thrive and will be well remembered as it glorifies God. And then, it needs to be a church of outreach. A church of outreach. Verse 8, Paul said, "For the word of the Lord sounded out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place." The church at Thessalonica was a church that was not inwardly focused. It was outwardly focused. He said, everybody's heard of you. Isn't that what he said? Everybody's heard of you. Do you know that churches have reputations too? Think about that. You think about other congregations from your childhood, from this area. Churches have reputations. I already mentioned Westboro. Oh my word. There is no way God's glorified in that. On the other hand, I remember that in the beginning of the work here, during City Reach, there was a storm. And the first thing that happened, I mean, it was God's interruption, but people from this congregation went out into the community and served the community. And people remembered that. Listen, the church is placed in the community to minister to the community with the love of Jesus Christ. Too many churches become so inwardly focused that the community does not even know they exist. And that is a shame. If you are to glorify God and see that God is glorified in this community, you must be a church that reaches out and ministers to the community. God has placed you here to demonstrate His love to the entire community around you. You want to be remembered? Do that. Minister, reach out. So that when somebody mentions Church on the Rock, they say, well, I don't know where the building is, but I can tell you what they did for us. The building's not so important until they want to come. But that they know that you love God because you loved them. A church that reaches out and ministers to the community. John, I wish so many of our churches could hear that and grasp the concept. It's not Lynn, it's the Word of God. I mean, it's the principles of the Word of God. Where did we ever get the idea that we exist for our sake? We must be a church of outreach. Not just maintaining a testimony and a good reputation among the community, but spreading the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and reaching out to others. Yes, there are needs out there, and we should try to supply some of those needs. We should try to help where we can, but let's never forget that their greatest need is that they are lost without Christ. And they need the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what your need is that you came into this building today, but I can tell you this, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the greatest need of your life in this moment, in this place, is that you come to Him in faith. Admitting that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and that you need Jesus. Recognizing that He has done all that needs to be done. And you just trust in Him and receive the free gift of salvation. Spreading the Word. Focused outward, not inward. Inclusive. If you've forgotten everything else I said under this point, please remember this. I like that I look around and I see young and old. I see people from different backgrounds. I like the mix of this congregation. And I think, looking at you, that you are an inclusive congregation. That you're welcoming of others. I've been in a lot of churches where it was obvious that the congregation was exclusive. That it was very difficult to break in. Now, there are some requirements for membership in this congregation, but there are no restrictions for walking through the door and being a part of this and hearing what's going on here and being a part of the worship. This needs to be an inclusive, and the restrictions on the membership have to be biblical only and never traditional and never based on our bias. We are to reach all the world and every creature. and the congregation to be well remembered. Now, we well remember in a very negative way Westboro because of their exclusivity, excluding everybody in every way in some awful ways. May we be remembered for our inclusivity in reaching everyone in every place. A church of outreach. And I'm a missionary, okay? And so I got to say it. I can't preach a whole sermon without saying all the world and every creature. Do not just limit your influence into Brownsburg in Indiana. There's a world out there that's dying without Christ. Find a way to send missionaries, to support missionaries, and to reach the world, every race, every language, every nation, every village, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Finally, if a church is to be remembered, it should be remembered as a working church, a transformed church, a church of outreach, but also as an expectant church, an expectant church. It's not in the verse, but I got to say this. What did you expect God to do when you came to this place this morning? Anything? Anything? Listen, God wants to work. He wants to reach into our lives and do something. May I encourage you that every time you step into this place, you come expecting something from God. If you seek Him, you will find Him. God wants to work in this congregation. But there is an even greater expectation of what God is going to do. He says in verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Listen, Jesus is coming. The world has given up. The world does not understand. The world does not believe. May I encourage you to grasp the fact that just as He came before, Jesus will come again. But this time not to die on a cross, but He will come in glory and in power to rule and to reign. A part of that coming will be our resurrection. Have you suffered from illness? Do you suffer from weakness? Are you struggling with sin, with addiction? Listen, deliverance is coming because Jesus is coming again. Do you fear that? Are you excited, expectant about Jesus' return? Listen, He's going to change us. He's going to finally and totally deliver us from sin. And we will live with Him forever. That is our great hope. I was reading, my reading this morning, John, was from Romans, that the whole world groans, waiting expectantly for the return of Christ. I'm not recommending groaning. Some of us do that on our own well enough, grumbling and groaning. But I recommend great expectation, looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, expecting His return, waiting to be delivered. Are you an expectant church? You know, one of the things about that is recognizing that our time is limited, our time is short. I'm not talking about whether I should be finished with the sermon or not. That's not what I mean. I mean, our time on this earth is short. And we need to be living expectantly, serving sacrificially till Jesus comes. And then when Jesus comes, we will, when we hear the shout, rejoice. Rejoice. We are an expectant church. Will Church on the Rock be remembered? I think so. But you want to make sure that that happens. As members of this congregation, you want to make sure that the growth, the glory that's going to God, continues from generation to generation, so that nobody could ever forget Church on the Rock. Paul could never forget Thessalonica and the church at Thessalonica. May that be said of us. We could never forget Church on the Rock, to the glory of God the Father. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, just how practical it is. Lord, help us to see how it applies to us. Lord, to allow you to work in our lives to transform us. Lord.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you want any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.